from the 2016 campaign till today, the question's been asked many a time. Is this the one that finally sinks Trump? But with admissions coming out this week about his conversation with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky and impeachment proceedings to begin, is this the one that finally sinks Trump? Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER. If you like what we do here on US of Ed each and every week, how about helping us out and drop us a review wherever you find your podcasts and checking us out on social media, Facebook and Twitter, US of Ed. Impeachment. At long last, Nancy Pelosi has fired up impeachment proceedings against President Donald Trump. Some would say her hand was forced into proceedings. Ed, first thoughts.
Her hand was forced in two ways. One, the squad and others have been looking for a reason to get at Trump because Trump's insulted most members of the Democratic Party. They are angry. And then he just stepped into it with this business in the Ukraine. He could have done the same thing by saying, gee, have you heard about Biden, etc.? But instead, he basically violates the law. Even if he weren't the president of the United States, what he had to say was a violation of the law. Didn't need to go there. And now, with all the other stuff, with the Mueller investigation, with Cohen, with everything else, the last shoe has dropped.
Trump has since released the transcript of his chat with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky in an attempt to undercut impeachment proceedings. Reading the transcript, lots of classic Trump language. He pushes Zelensky repeatedly to talk to Attorney General William Barr and former mayor turned Trump bagman Rudy Giuliani and asks for a favor. There's a lot of talk about Biden's son, that Biden stopped the prosecution, and a lot of people want to find out about that. So whatever you can do with the Attorney General would be great. Is it enough to impeach with?
Absolutely. Impeachment does not require a violation of the law, but it does require a violation of impropriety. The notion of the founders was that a person who was fit to be president should be removed. And that's exactly what they want to do. This will be a very narrowly focused impeachment. Did he act improperly? Not did he violate a law? Not did he violate the spirit of law? Is that a proper and improper thing to do? Particularly when he went after the person who might be his would-be challenger in a political race. This is a violation of several acts, one of them being the Campaign Act, where you can't take anything from a foreign entity, anything at all, even a document, a piece of paper, nothing from a foreign entity. The second violation is an even bigger violation, and that is we're dealing now with the possibility of him using his office, an abuse of powers, in order to get something from a foreign power. This is totally wrong. And Zelensky didn't push him under the bus, but he had his collar on it, and he's ready to push because I don't want to get involved in American political affairs. He didn't say he didn't do it, and that's what Trump wanted.
In terms of people that, you could find under that bus, Trump has actually said today, I think you should ask for VP Pence's conversation because he had a couple of conversations also. Is Trump throwing Pence under the bus?
He's throwing him under the bus, under the train, under the subway. He's throwing him in. He wants to involve other people here in order to make his dirty hands look a little less dirty. But dirty hands are dirty hands, and I don't think Pence is going to go for it at all. You know, they have a cool relationship at best. This will undercut it almost completely.
What's actually next? How long can we expect this investigation to take?
Well, the investigation will take about a month or two, just because, you know, Christmas is coming up, all this kind of stuff. So I would say sometime in January, an indictment will come out. It'll be voted by all the Democrats and probably 10 Republicans, the Republicans who are in the middle. So it'll be a firm indictment, and that's what we're looking at here. Impeachment is nothing more than indictment. It is not a removal from office.
Mm.
Only the Senate can do that. And who knows what happened? I think there's 6 votes on the Republican side. They'll vote with the Democrats on this one, at least 6, including Romney. So that gets you to about 54, 55. You have to get to 69. That's a tough act.
Do you feel, as some have suggested, that getting away relatively unscathed from the Mueller probe, for now at least, has left Trump feeling invincible enough that he could do this, do anything, and get away with it?
I would say yes to that as a psychologist. But I say no to that as a politician. Because what Trump is doing is trying to gin up his base. And he's not thinking very clearly about this. He thinks if he can throw some dirt on another candidate, his base will be able to use something among their supporters talking together that'll keep them together. But I think this one may have backfired. It's going to be hard for members of his base to say what the president did was all right, no matter who they are. They may say, I'm going to lay dead on this one, but they can't condone it.
And as you mentioned a moment ago, it's been a big aspect weighing on any talk of impeachment. Even if it passes the House of Reps, the Republican-held Senate will never pass this, or so people say. As you mentioned there, maybe in the House of Reps, we can get a few Republicans on side. A few Republicans might come on side with this one. Is it so inconceivable that enough Republicans might say, enough is enough, see this one pass? And if not, what happens to those who shirk it?
Well, I don't think it's going to go that far. If it gets to that position, the president will resign. He's not going to go out by having somebody push him out the door. So I think, and he would ask for a pardon from all crimes, both federal and state crimes, as a condition of this. We're getting so close to the election, he might do that anyway, because he'd be such damaged goods in an election that it would be very bad news for him. And he can go on talk shows and things like this, write his book saying how innocent he was, and these evil people in the state hounded him into that and try to make his fortune back because he's losing money on this job.
I just had a horrible vision of an alternative universe with Nixon News Network sort of plastered across a few buildings.
Well, Nixon News would seem kind of sanitary, I would think, in those circumstances.
Just on the other side of this, before we do get off it, Joe Biden is the Democratic frontrunner. Personally, having read up on this one, Hunter Biden, I think, was stupid to take the role he did in the Ukraine, but I strongly doubt he did anything illegal. In fact, I suspect he didn't do very much of anything except show up to collect a paycheck. Joe Biden, I also don't believe, did anything out of order. But if we do the old sniff test, if we do the pub test on this one, the conspiracy that Trump is spinning, if it gets enough time in the media, could it hurt Biden's chances at the nomination and in 2020?
I can't say, because there isn't enough out there at this point. The problem with Trump is he will create lies, and those lies create more lies that create more lies. And spending your time trying to put down the lies is a fruitless exercise. So this could have legs, even if it doesn't have any truth behind it. And, you know, a dirty dish has got to be washed. And Biden, who isn't the strongest candidate in the world, might have to step aside.
In other news, our own glorious leader, Scott Morrison, in Washington this week, playing the part of prop in another wild Trump press conference before all this impeachment stuff broke, fears Morrison could let Trump drag us into confrontation with Iran and further trouble with China. Any thoughts?
Well, I think my thoughts on this today are slightly different than they were yesterday. Clearly, Trump wants an ally in Australia for the China business, and he wants allies in general for actions with Iran. But now Trump is a raging bull, and he could attack Iran as a diversionary tactic in the hopes of bringing his base together and the American people together for the troops. And we would be dragged into it, as we were in Afghanistan, as we were in Vietnam, we're snuggling up to some very dangerous characters. And I hope that leadership in this country will say, no, 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 no.
And just also, Australia looking to invest in space travel with the US, committing $150 million to a mission to Mars. Now, aside from all the criticisms about how else the money could be spent, how do you feel about this one, Ed? Personally, I think we could have some exciting scientific and indeed economic implications here for Australia.
This could be the escape for Trump. We'll send him to Mars. Look, the $150 million in this is like a postage stamp in a project of this billions and billions. I'm not saying we shouldn't have put money in it, but what we should have done was saying we will carry out these scientific things that will benefit our science area, and that can add up to $150 million or something like that. But the way it was put, the dollars came first. And I think it's really the science that has to come first. We do need to work on this kind of space science because we happen to be good at it because of our location.
Trump doesn't need to get impeached. We can just send him home.
That's right. He is something from Mars.
Trump and Morrison, both notable absentees from the UN Global Climate Summit in New York, much made of climate activist Greta Thunberg's appearance, Sir David Attenborough also talking to Australia to take us to task about our failure to lead on the issue of climate change as we once did. Are the US and Australia united in climate denial, Ed?
I don't think so. Here, Scott Morrison was very careful in his remarks to say Australia is doing things for the environment, including dealing with plastics. But we're not doing enough. And that's really the central issue, and we're not leading at all. We're doing what we have to do, and what we have to do is not nearly enough. And when you have a rich nation like ours just barely going over the bar, it's really not enough. And Morrison's words aren't enough either. I think he'll come back to an angry public. Farmers angry because the money went to this Mars expedition. We'll have other people angry on the climate change issue. And we're going to have some people politically angry that he went to a Trump rally in Ohio. That's just not done.
And across the pond, Brexit. It's comforting to look at the United Kingdom right now and say at least we're not there. The Supreme Court in the UK ruling that Boris Johnson acted unlawfully in shutting down Parliament for 5 weeks. Johnson being pressured to resign, although holding out. And I think in capturing the Tories' mood, one senior minister reportedly called the ruling a constitutional coup. Ed, extraordinary developments.
Maybe Boris and Trump can go to Mars because they both have the same incapacity to tell the truth or deal with leadership issues genuinely. I think that Boris is now cooked. He's cooked in his own party. He has no followers and his job is hollow. He's getting no love from the Europeans. Boris is now looking for a way to save face. And Brexit is going to be the breakup of all time. I can see food stamps on the streets in London. This is going to be really bad news.
I don't know where my mind is today because, honestly, I'm just thinking of the horrors of sending Trump and Boris to Mars together and coming back in 50 years to find out they've bred and God knows what the red planet would look like.
But we're not sending any women.
I wasn't thinking the women. What happens now, though, with Brexit? Presumably, surely, they're not going to manage the October 31st withdrawal.
There's no way. And so what's going to happen is there's going to be a painful breakup, like a divorce case, in which the Europeans are going to take the furniture and the house and move down the street, and Great Britain will be standing there in its birthday suit. Unfortunately, I think that's where we're heading, and I would not be surprised to see the finance community start making a move for Frankfurt and for elsewhere in Europe, and they won't come back.
And just before we leave off, Israel, incredibly at time of recording, still no more movement essentially from last week in their election. A razor-thin, inconclusive margin, and the two major parties in talks to form a unity government. Ed, what's going on?
Well, if there's a unity government, who's going to run the unity government?
Mm.
And the minority parties have the majority of seats. So I think this is a situation where you can't have another election. The country is not going to go for that. So I think the Likud has to settle with a change in leadership. And Netanyahu, I hope he has a fast plane or boat, because he may be going to Mars too.
And this week, we're still addressing the Democrats vying to become presidential nominee in 2020, regardless of who they might be facing. This week, Elizabeth Warren, she is looking like a very real possibility, Ed. This week, passing Biden in a nationwide poll for the first time.
Yeah, and I think there's weakness in the Biden camp. And I think Elizabeth Warren started from pretty far behind, actually, with this business about made Native American, but she's acquitted herself very well. Let me tell you a little bit about her. She is actually from Oklahoma. She went to the University of Texas. From Texas, where she went to law school, she got on the faculty at Harvard, acquitted herself so well, she got an appointment within the Obama administration and capitalized that appointment into the possibility of running for the U.S. Senate, which he did against a very tough Republican, Brown, and she beat him and has been going strong ever since. So she put her eye on the presidency the day she walked into the Senate, and she's been looking pretty good, and she would be the next person in line if Joe Biden steps aside, and I think she's really credible.
Just in terms of her political outlook, looking into it today, Warren for a long time was more on the conservative side of things, and she's something of a late convert to the more liberal style of thinking. What do you make of that in terms of, well, where America is right now politically?
Well, I think actually it fits
because
she will get a lot of sympathy with the Republicans in the suburbs because she was a Republican herself. She's really middle of the road when it comes to economic issues. She has a very strong positive agenda when it comes to social issues. And unlike Harris, she sounds tough without sounding belligerent. So I think she is a possibility, and it is the Women's Day. And I think she's come back from a very, very bad place to being really a possibility. Now, Biden's not going to be vice president. That's for darn sure.
Not again.
So if Warren does make it through and comes out, then I think we'll be looking for somebody who's from the left to run with her.
Mm. And just you briefly mentioned it there, just as a final point. I hate to say it, but is the fact that she is a woman going to hold her back? I mean, there were plenty of legitimate criticisms against Hillary Clinton in 2016. No matter what side you were on, I think there were legitimate criticisms. But we'd be kidding ourselves if we claimed she didn't face a greater uphill battle because she was a woman. Warren now facing that same glass ceiling.
No. And the reason is that Hillary at least penetrated it. Furthermore, Warren is further to the right, and she has been a legislator for a good time, and she's acquitted herself very well. So I think that game may be over, and she would certainly be a darn good president.
Ed and I will be back next week with a special on the impeachment process and what it means for what is to come next for Donald Trump. If you enjoy what you hear on US of Ed, drop us a review wherever you find the podcast and check us out on social media, Facebook and Twitter, US of Ed.